The minutes from the March 28th meeting, everyone has had an opportunity to review them. Any corrections, additions, deletions? Hearing none, they're passed. I'll call on our controller to give her a financial update.
Good morning, everyone. So I'm happy to say that coming in from March, we're still doing strong. We had a net income of about $135,000. That's about $110,000 above what we budgeted. And the biggest budget variance is the award.
I'm sorry, would you repeat that again? I think you misspoke. How much did we get in?
$135,000 net income.
Net income, okay.
Yeah, for April. So that's about $110,000 above what we budgeted.
Uh-huh.
The biggest budget variance was the awards. We're down about $100,000. We're right on, pretty much right on par for the revenue. Looking at it compared to prior year, we're about $103,000 more than we were last year. And those variances are due to awards down about $98,000 and revenue up about $14,000. Year to date, we're holding strong. We have about $1.4 million net income. So that's about $715,000 above what we budgeted. And the majority of that is due to decrease in awards, about $500,000, and then revenue was up about $244,000. Looking at it compared to prior year, we're about $600,000 more than last year. And that's due to increase in revenue about $327,000, which the majority of that is Resorts World BLT. They were up about $360,000 to last year. And awards are down about $333,000. And looking at the number of awards from this April to last April, it's down 126 number of awards. So that's it on the first page that I wanted to go over. If we go to page six, I just wanted to point out, we started to get in the donations from the aftercare. So as of April, we have about $4,000 that was donated from personal tax returns. And then in May, we received about $5,300, and then in June, about $2,500. So in total, we got about $11,700 in donations thus far. And then if we go to the last page, our AR. It's all pretty current. Finger Lakes was a little bit behind, so I reached out to Mike, and then he made a payment, May 15th. And then Batavia, they had about $3,000 that was in, over the 90, so I reached out to her, and that was just a mistake on her part. She missed paying that, so she was submitting a payment with the next payment. Capital, they had $27,000 that was in the 60 to 90, but they subsequently paid that. And then Catskill, that we know about, their AR is up to about $156,000. Does anybody
about how much a month is Catskill always?
About, it runs about, I want to say about $3,000.
A month?
Yeah.
Okay.
Does anybody have any questions on the financials?
No, hearing none. We'll go on to the proposal to hire firm for the time study.
Okay. So last month, there's a motion to seek qualified bids from firms to conduct our time allocation study. So I reached out to seven firms. Three firms came back with proposals. One of them was our current auditors, MMB, UHY, and Bono Deal Group. The fees range from about $2,500 to $12,750. The audit committee, they recommended retaining UHY. They have a lot of experience with time studies. They're very familiar with the racing industry. They're the auditors for 8 years for NYRA until they did the audit rotation. They've done some engagements for Capital TV, Vernon Downs, and various other racing entities. So they're in the middle of the road fee-wise as well. So upon the recommendation of the audit committee to treat UHY, I would just need board approval to move forward with that recommendation.
Can I get a motion on that, please?
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, fine. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And when do you expect them to start?
They can start right away. So we're going to pick 4 months to do, pick 2 weeks within each month. We'll document our time, and then they're going to be looking at that at the end.
So that we have a representative sample there. That's great. Yep. Okay.
Will you send me the engagement letter so I can just look at it?
We don't have an engagement letter yet. I'm just a proposal. I'm just through email. So once I reach out to them, they'll have
I'm sorry, once they send the engagement letter. Just
yeah, absolutely. Okay.
Mr. Flaherty, we'll call on you now on the Catskill OT basis. It's obviously just been teed up.
Sure. So as you all know that my firm was engaged to do a joint engagement to represent both this fund and the Harness Fund to pursue an action against Catskill OTB. We have filed, in order to do that, whenever you commence an action against an entity that's a quasi-governmental entity, under New York state law, you need to file a notice of claim, giving that entity 30 days notice of your claim and demand for payment. We filed that notice of claim a week ago, and so now and basically the notice of claim, you know, we filed two of them, one on behalf of this fund and one on behalf of the Harness Fund, putting them on notice again. Not as if they certainly are on notice, but putting them on formal notice of the amount of money that's owed to this fund and to the Harness Fund, demanding payments. And once 30 days elapses from that date, then we are then entitled to file a complaint in state court if they don't pay us in that 30-day period. So assuming that they don't pay us within 30 days, we will then move forward with filing a complaint. Both funds are going to file a single complaint against Catskill OTB and pursue it through litigation.
Yeah, thank you. One, thank you very much for your, you know, this is, I asked it to be done promptly and it was, so it's out. I think under the circumstances that we can assume that we are not going to get paid within the 30 days. So I would ask you to have the complaint ready to file when the 30 days is up.
Sure, sometimes. Absolutely.
Okay. Mr. Flaherty's firm has billed both funds for their work so far. I don't think I need a motion, but I've reviewed it and I find their charge is reasonable, so I'd ask the executive director of both funds to pay that.
For what it's worth, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to put as much time as I can on the retainer, but there's a limit to how much I can put on the retainer, and so I'm trying to keep the legal fees.
Yeah, no, we appreciate that. I think that's you've done well, and as I said, I'm more than pleased with the amount of the promptness that you got this out. This has been going on way, way, way too long. And personally, I'm very uncomfortable with that type of amount being owed to the funds. And, you know, obviously we have to plead, you know, proceed, you know, with great dispatch and aggressively to get our money. So,
okay.
And I appreciate what you've done so far, which is just that.
I'd just like to make one comment on it, which I'm totally down with this, and I agree too long. And one of the thoughts I had is you look down this revenue stream from all these different OTBs, and a few of them are a little behind, but it's like, if too many mice get out, you're setting a precedent that, you know, like, we don't have to pay them, you know? And so, even if this doesn't achieve great things, at least it's a shot over the bow to anybody else that might be contemplating similar stuff. What do you think, Joe?
I think that they've contemplated that, and I think that it's the same as New York City OTB. They're going to leave town and owe us a ton of money. So if we don't get it now, we're not going to get it.
Yeah.
Is my opinion.
Yeah, exactly.
And we dropped the ball terribly. I don't know that we dropped the ball. The state kind of told us with New York State, with New York City, well, forget it. So,
yeah,
I'm glad we're going after Mike.
Me too.
I think it's long overdue.
It is.
Previous chairmans never wanted to do that.
Yeah.
I commend you.
Thank you, but I said,
right.
No, we can't, I'm here to make sure things go right, and that was one of the things that obviously went wrong. Mm-hmm. And there's no reason why we should not be paid. And, and I'm sorry to see that, but that's what it is. We all know these days it's much easier to take your phone out than go down to the OTV, so...
That's what
they're finding out. Yeah. Ms. Egan, I guess you're up.
Yep, well, falling season is still here. Many mares are falling late or their red light haven't falled, and not everybody has reported their falls. What we got from our reports into the fund was 1,100 falls, but Sarah Mace went a little deeper for us because one of our larger farms, I don't want to say at the meeting, was not really good at reporting to us, but they do report to the jockey club. So the current fall crop number, which is probably 85 to 90% of the fall crop, we have 1,334 foals. 824 of those are probably Kentucky sired or non-New York sired. That's 62%, and 510 are New York sired, which is 38%, roughly. So it's about what we've been seeing. We've been seeing a 60-40 split for the past few years. So we'll see as the remainder of the falls come in how that falls. But I expect we will be very close to the 1,500 of last year, maybe a little less, maybe a little more.
Basically the same.
Pretty much even.
Okay.
The so we're expecting 1,334. That's what you've got now?
That's what we've counted now, but they're not everybody has reported. Mm-hmm. Some people haven't reported to us, some people haven't reported to the jockey club. So, you know, we ask people to report to us, but some of the farms think their job is done when they report to the mm-hmm. jockey club. And some people don't report to the jockey club because as soon as they do, they feel they have to pay their stud fee. So, but anyway, things should be letting up for Patty. She should get a little more sleep soon.
No more falls, I'm done. You had the last fall last week.
Oh, good for you.
So that's good. I'm excited. It's the first Sunday that I didn't have any falls in.
Oh, January. I'm happy.
Good thing you're young.
Yeah, no, I know, but it gets hard. For some reason, the weekend is the worst.
They always take pull at the most inconvenient time, right?
Yeah, no, it's for real, it's just the worst. Like every weekend, it's like 10 on a day. It's like every single weekend, I got so many falls. It's hard, especially Sunday. Sunday is...
I think it's because things get quiet on the farm. I know my mares would wait till I leave to fall. Like I'm going up to McDonald's, I'm gone for 15 minutes, they fall then.
Well, between... Chris and McMahon
yeah,
in Chestertown, you're talking about over 300 foals.
Yeah, so I do,
between those three.
So I do half of the New York crop at least by myself. Wow. So I did this year like 515 foals.
Oh my goodness.
So you pick up another 200 over the three largest foals.
Yeah, 515. By myself, not even like my clinic, you know, no, just... Between Scott and me.
Were there people at the farms to help you?
Joe had almost 140 foals.
Nice.
Really?
Yeah. He had all those years. He had a very good performance season. I want to say that to him.
That's why I'm a little bit surprised that our numbers aren't a little bit better. Because we've had the biggest year that we've ever had.
But if you look at the other clients, I mean, I have some, you know, I go to other farms and they have 5, they have 6, they have 8, 30, 20. Mm-hmm. It's really hard for big farms to handle like yours. Yours and Chris is kind of like an exception, and maybe, I don't know, what other farm that is kind of big, maybe Irish Hill, something like that. But other than that, they're like smaller, 30, 40. That's all that they can handle. and far away, and so you guys are the biggest. We don't have as much really big farms like you are.
Oh, we're having a hard time handling it too.
No, you're doing pretty good. I think you're doing pretty good, to be honest. The smaller farms, I think, are the hardest because it's just, you know, they have 8 or 6 horses, and they just, it's just way harder, at least for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm looking forward to it. I Assemblywoman Werner has asked me to kind of go around with her and visit the farms in her district, and I think obviously she's waiting till the end of session, which is now. So next month or so, I'm hoping to go out and see some of those beautiful young foals.
Sure, there's a bunch of them coming from Kentucky now. So all the foals that they January, February, March, even fall, they're coming back from Kentucky. They're pregnant now.
By the way, there were, just as a matter of course, there were, as I was driving up today, there were a number of horse trailers coming up. They're not coming to Saratoga, are they?
Yes, they are.
Yes.
Oklahoma Training Track is open. I saw some when I pulled up this morning, still over in the track, right across the street from us.
Yeah.
Biggest number they've ever had. Under 1,000 horses are right now.
Wow.
At
the Oklahoma Training Center.
Right across the street.
Biggest number they've ever had.
That's the future of New York racing. All those good young horses are over there right now.
That's terrific.
While we're gathered here, I was wondering what you guys would think of asking a place like Wanamakers to go to farms in Maryland, Kentucky, Florida, and see if they could do a digital sale of mares who are not yet in foal, you know, under the 120 days, so that you could buy a mare, you know, instead of waiting for the fall sales, where then they are, unless they're over 50 grand to purchase, then they would have to come to New York Sire. But if you buy them now, when they're less than 120 days in foal, they could come to New York foal, be excused from breeding to a New York Stallion, but if they wanted to. But I'm thinking a lot of breeders in New York, some like Tom Gallo was saying the other day, thinks that there's going to be a renaissance in New York because of Belmont being rehabbed. We can all cross our fingers and hope that's true. But maybe there are you know, people who own farms out there that, and mare owners who would say, well, yeah, I could add another one or two mares, but I'm interested in, you know, having it come to the state now. Do you have a relationship with Wanamakers?
Yes, I do. I could.
What do you think?
Yeah, certainly it's an interesting idea, and definitely it's an opportunity there to bring more mares to the state. So, no, I'll definitely investigate it.
Yeah, because really the only time you get mares, who are the mares in motion? Right. The ones that go to the sales. But if you do a digital sale now, there'd be a lot of mares who would be eligible to come into New York and fall without having to go to New York Sire. Although, I mean, this year Mind Control has gotten, I think, over 180 mares. And Central Banker and Salamini must have gotten a lot.
The Central Banker's about 140.
Wow.
And Salamini's around 100.
And that Salamini, that's all on the promise of Salamini, you know. Because people were breeding before we even saw them breed at 9 and 4 at the sales.
The bigger news with Salamini is that he's had 10 two-year-olds sell at the Florida sales and at the Maryland sales, and they've averaged 126,000 per foal. And that's second or third in the country among all first crop sizes.
Hey, that's just crazy.
And that's
crazy
incredible.
Number.
We've
that's
never had
awesome.
That happen.
Oh, that's wonderful.
You had that one for 700,000.
Yeah.
That's what I mean.
More importantly, the median is 300,000.
Well,
I mean, you know, take the $700,000 horse and throw him out.
Yeah.
You still got $150,000 average. It's incredible. Mm-hmm. So we're really optimistic that he'll come out with runners. So, but we've never seen that before.
Well, that's
never.
That's great news. I am meeting with Naira on Saturday during the meet. So if there's anything more we need to, I am very, very optimistic about the renovations at Belmont. I think that's proceeding apace, and I'm very optimistic that that's going to make a major difference in terms of racing in New York. They're doing some wonderful stuff out there.
Well, as you drive down Hempstead Turnpike now, it's nice to not see the blight that you used to see. They're building, you know, they built a
hockey
the arena, which is really a beautiful building. But across the street, you got the parking garages, you got the hotels going up. It's really revolutionized. It's changed that area.
Very much so.
And it will continue to do
the
so.
The development engine, yeah, right.
Yeah.
And, you know, and there'll be some, you know, part of this is the just providing parking for both venues in the middle of that. That's what mm-hmm. the new mm-hmm. thing. So it'll be, you know, a good source of revenue for NIRU, which is great, and a good source for the track. I've taken a look at their plans, and of course they're beautiful. They're wonderful. Both in terms of that, as you probably know, I've insisted that they provide updated housing for the backstretch workers. And they've, to be fair to them, after I raised that, they have, as you well know, they have stepped up to the plate and done a really good job both here in Saratoga and in Belmont. And God knows it was needed, but I'm satisfied with more than satisfied with their progress in terms of getting that done. So I think that's, and in the future we're going to be, the state facilities board, franchise board, is going to be looking at everything that they do, including workers' housing. So it was a good bill that went through the legislature. And thank everybody for their work on that, by the way. Mm-hmm. Finger Lakes.
Okay, so I got the personal returns analysis through May 31st. So looking at that compared to last May, at this May 2023, they spent about $140,000 on the purse enrichments on 34 races. One of the races was a stake race for $25,000. Last May, they spent about $138,000, and that was on 40 races. We've sent them in, you know, between breakage and then the monthly purse enrichment and then the additional money from 2022, a total of about $464,000. So they have about $324,000 remaining of the purse enrichments as of May 31st.
I've noticed in the last 2 weeks at Finger Lakes that they're putting, you know, the gross figure for the maiden special races is 132. That includes our money that we put into it. Now I've noticed that there's been a lot of Kentucky sired horses that have gone there to do that that are not New York breds because that's an open race.
Mm-hmm.
Right, Nash?
Yes, correct.
I saw that too, Joe.
So that's a trend. And what that's saying is that Finger Lakes is getting more popular as a trainer's choice to send these maidens
that's
to.
That's a huge thing.
That's a big thing.
Yeah.
And we should watch that very closely and see who's doing that. Because, I mean, I noticed yesterday there was a very expensive Windstar bred.
$100,000.
Not New York bred.
Yeah. $100,000 Kentucky bred broke its maiden at Finger Lakes.
So that's a trend that we should be watching. Yeah. We were always 80% New York breds running in those races. And I want to make sure that we're tracking that number isn't getting out of whack. You know what I mean, Naja?
Yeah, no, I completely agree.
Everybody understand where I'm going with this?
Definitely.
So
your point being that you think that we need to do something if it keeps up the way it's going.
Yeah, I think that what I'm seeing is that we never had non-New York sired horses or non-New York bred horses going to Finger Lakes to break their maiden before. But because we have changed the way we display the purse amount and because the purse amount is indeed different, we're starting to see non-New York bred horses winning those races. And I think it's just something we need to watch.
It's a double-edged sword, as you're saying. First of all, on one hand, it's really a good thing because we need Finger Lakes to be there. Very important for the overall program.
Right.
But and I think it shows strength to a certain extent
that
you're attracting these other horses, which never used to come. I mean, they came as older horses, you know, claiming horses, but not young.
You're actually 3-year-olds.
Didn't see that. Just didn't see that. But as Joe points out, what happened is largely through Jeff a few years ago and his input, Jeff Canizzo, he figured out, that they didn't have to, Finger Lakes was running New York bred maidens and open maidens, and the purses were really not very good. And Jeff figured out that 90% of the horses were New York bred, so just make them open races. And then they get more owner's awards, and it was a win, and there was a bigger purse and bigger fields. So everybody won. And that's because it had been ignored that all horses were New York bred. And what Joe's saying, well, now as the New York bred number shrinks, it's like, uh-oh. I mean, I don't think there's anything to panic about, but it's, I agree completely. It's something to watch that I don't know what we do about it, but we want to be aware of it.
Well, we want to be, how are we going to track that?
Well, so the only way to track it is through the, you know, I think the jockey club can track it very easily just by
the entries. We can watch the entries who ran on the race, where they're followed.
New York, sorry.
And see the trends of, working with Finger Lakes as well, and their, you know, racing secretary, just to see where the trends are and make sure that our New York breds are the primary ones that are still breaking their maidens in these races with the elevated purses.
Okay. It was interesting, Kim showed me last year how the spending at Finger Lakes went. And so they're about on par for April and May. Last year when they really got gluttonous was August. All of a sudden they were used spending our money at like $226,000. That's when they came to us at the end of August and said, oh, we're out of your money. And the chairman said, well, okay, you're going to have to wait. And you know, we'll have to. And also the Ag Commissioner was very interested in having some guardrails on the process. So I'm glad that we have them in place now. Thank you, Kim, for getting that down for us.
Do you know what, Kim, what percentage of the budgeted amount that we have for them they're spending per month on enrichment?
So I only had there's only 2 days in April, and then the majority of it was in May. I think there was like, 2 days in April?
Yeah.
So, like, I can tell by, like, what races they're, like, how much per, like, the different allowance races and maybe special and stuff that they spent per each.
I just wondering if we're, you know, just we don't want to end up in the same situation as last year.
Well, so far this month they're good.
To measure it against, I'm wondering if it's going to do us much good.
No, she's got it. Okay. Where they break down the allowance race, the maiden special weight. So
we're on par with last year. You said in your report.
And as of May.
As of May, we just need to watch for Saratoga in
for July,
August.
For July, August, that's when luck was.
When they got aggressive last year, and make sure we keep them in line.
So they have about $324,000 as of May 31st that's unused so far.
Okay. I mean, obviously we have to, given what happened last year, we have to keep a tight leash on them.
Yeah. So every month I'll do the same analysis and kind of look to see, you know, how they're utilizing it and what's left. And
obviously, if you find something out of whack, you'll let us know right
away. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't wait for the board meeting.
No,
joint to the board meeting. So I get this like I reached out to him at the end of May, so he got it within a couple of days or whatever. So when I send the monthly reports, I can let you guys know.
Please.
No, if there is something out of whack, what you refer to Ms. Egan, I'll call a special, you know, Zoom meeting for us, you know, just to go over it, because I don't want this to go on again.
How quickly do they report back to you?
Within a couple of days. Like, I reached out to Mike, and within, like, 2 days, he got it to me. Maybe a day, you know, after.
Yeah, that's a good point.
The races ended. Yeah, so he's pretty good with getting stuff to me when I request it.
Okay, I have no old business. I do want to thank you for your hospitality. And,
of course, Joe. Thank you for
Commissioner Ball and I were there, and had a very lovely thing at Saratoga National. And it was really, really excellent to be with you and the breeders. And it was a lovely night. Miss Egan showed me around and introduced me to everybody that I needed to be introduced to, and probably some that I didn't need to be.
Yeah, but they were thrilled.
And so thank you very much for that.
Thank you, Chairman. And it was a reflection of the great partnership between the fund and NYTB. Joe had a great night. I think he took home 3 awards, Joe?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I liked the 53 years on Fitch Road, Joe. That was good. Who wrote that for you? That was very good.
Congratulations on that. I'm remiss in not congratulating you for those awards.
Thanks very much.
It was wonderful. It really was a wonderful night for the industry and for all of us.
And Richie Migliori does a nice job. We're lucky to have him as the sort of the MC.
I don't know, he told a couple jokes on me there.
You just got to get bigger credit for this for him to read.
Yes, correct. We'll do.
Happens to us all. Anything else? I will be out at the...
Belmont Stakes?
I'll be at the Belmont Stakes. I am told, which I was really quite shocked at, that would be first time the racing commissioner has been at Belmont for many years. So, and I take that seriously. I think it's important that the commission be represented at all things in Dog, particularly the Belmont. And I'm, of course, looking forward to Saratoga. But everybody looks forward to Saratoga.
Yeah.
And I look forward to seeing many of you at your farms when the assemblywoman takes me around. So that'll be great. Any other business?
I just want to make a comment on promo. This is New York racing, really, out of just the breeding thing. But Doug Cook bred a horse. Our good friend, a longtime New York breeder, former president of NYTB, who's running in the Belmont Gold Cup. And so that's cool. And not only is it cool that he's running in that, but he's running in it against Charlie Appleby's horse and Joseph O'Brien's horse. So you got two of the best from Europe in that race. And that's also a tip of the hat to Naira. The Belmont Gold Cup is 2 miles on the grass. And there are very, very few, if any, races like that anymore. In Europe, they still run it. They don't in this country. So I think Bill's opinion is, you know, as we move forward and little tracks close across the country or whatever, it's this big international presence that lifts all of racing. And anyway, Doug's our friend, so I just thought it was cool. He's got a horse in there. Of course, Spenderella is running in a grade one, a New York bred filly, who has a shot in there. I mean, got to beat Chad Brown, which is hard. But the whole festival is, I mean, it's like the Breeders' Cup, really. I mean, it's like the spring edition of the Breeders' Cup. It's just, it's fantastic, and we got some good New York breds in there. Joe, you got any thoughts?
I'm just glad to see that it's getting revived and that NYRA is getting to the position where they're getting national prominence again.
Right.
That was slipping terribly, and I think that there's going to be some big news in the very near future that's going to really change the game. So I think it's all very, very positive is what I see.
Yeah.
And
I did not say, and I should have, because I should have written it down, but Miss Egan in charge or in touch with the people from Ireland who have been in touch with me, the Irish Horse Breeders Association. Is it the Irish Horse Breeders Association?
Yes.
Wow. Yeah. And they're coming over, and I'm looking forward to having an exchange program where we can have our horses over there and the horses over here.
And I volunteer.
Not during falling season.
But okay, Fox standing over there is unbelievable.
But they are very interested in a program. They're doing something in the fall in the city. But I think it's an important thing for us as a fund to be reaching out and doing these programs. And this would be the obviously for me and the easier one. I have to compliment Miss Egan on that. I put her in touch, and she was right on top of it to make sure that we got the it's very preliminary, of course, but we have gotten, I think they're coming over in a couple of weeks, and certainly they'll be over for Saratoga, and so hopefully we'll be able to advance that in a very positive way of getting the, you know, their horses. Obviously there's Irish horses coming over here, but we need to get New York State bred horses over there, and I think that's something we can do.
They have the great Irish National Stud Program, working with a lot of students, getting them entrenched in the industry.
Uh-huh.
If we could perhaps work with the farms here as well, I'd be willing to help.
That'd be terrific. Yeah. They're coming over, I think.
You mean like people coming for like falling season?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yes. We need that. Farm manager,
yeah.
Owen, he's from Ireland, I don't know which part, but he's from there, he's along from Irish men farm, so he's very proud of that. So I think he will like, that kind of people will have a lot of horse experience, because it's really hard, or like horse headache. He kind of runs my orders away, because he's just, you know,
tight
very
ship.
Driven. But everybody's slow.
And further on the human side, there's a stallion. Joe has a claim to fame. His oldest son, Mike, was a huge success, former president of NYTB, trained in Ireland, right? He did a stint over there. So.
Yeah, he did. He was in the Irish National Stud.
He was, yeah. Beautiful.
And so
beautiful.
Was Kate.
Yeah.
That's with Kate as the start of the Darley
program. And so they both have spent considerable time there. And one of our other siblings, or their siblings, John, spent about a year in Australia through Coolmore and through some other connections we have there. So anyway, yeah, we've been very involved in exchanges with Ireland, and Ireland in particular.
It's an easy place to exchange, although I must say I sent my son over for summer school many, many years ago. And came back and someone asked me what he was studying, and I said drinking. and he got an A in that.
Well, I had one thing I'd be remiss in saying, that my son-in-law married to Kate is Fergus Galvin, and he's from Duncocken. If we can say that word. But he's a wonderful horseman, and he's very successful, and very glad to have him in our family.
Well, it'll be wonderful. Hopefully we can advance this, Mazegan. And I know you'll do your best, for sure.
Bring in that Amber O'Grady.
It's a great name, isn't it?
It is. Just a reminder to everybody, the next board meeting is Tuesday, July 25th. So the meet will have started, but hopefully the grounds won't be being used yet.
Tuesday, July 25th.
Yep. It's our August meeting. So at the August meeting, we have to have a budget proposal ready, and we have to file that in September.
I'll put that down. Tuesday, July 20th.
Yep.
That's it.
And then I was going to something completely different. I'm not saying for this year or something, but I was wondering, do we do anything for the kids, for the back stretch that they are like Spanish speaking? You know, I'm always kind of interested in that. It's like the fund does anything for them that we can like host like a day, you know, with, I don't know, something for the kids that they work in the back stretch, and we can do, like, I speak Spanish, I can, you know, I can do something with even, like, my kids.
Well, you know what they asked me about? They wanted to know if on a Sunday somebody could do something for the kids. I mean, sometimes they'll take them to, like, the Great Escape, or they'll take them to a park or a farm and put on a picnic. So, I mean, do you want to volunteer your farm? It would be on a Sunday, that's what they're looking for.
I'm not said, like, maybe take it to a farm, but maybe we can have like a day where they leave, we can be the Oklahoma, we can just have like ice cream for all the kids or something not so elaborate, but we can just, you know.
I'll reach out to them. Is there a certain day that's better for you?
I mean, I'm not saying this year, I'm just saying like, I would be happy to plan something like we can do like once a year or create and we can be there. I don't know, or something closer to what everybody's in, by Christmas everybody's in Belmont, but maybe something for the summer. The kids are here, there's a lot going on. Just a thought. Something.
Well,
so
the
can
daycare thing is very active.
It is very active, BBC, yes.
Through, here in Saratoga, through Belmont Child Care. And I know there's a lot of kids locally
that
get into that too.
That's Anna House, it's in Belmont, and then now they build a new one over here.
Right.
So maybe doing something for them as the fund just brings.
Why don't we look and see if we can do something in conjunction with them?
Yeah, exactly.
I will love
that.
Maybe the horseman too.
Maybe we could just get something as simple as an ice cream truck.
We can be there, talk to the kids, or anything like that, like a magician, I don't know, little things. You know,
yeah.
You don't have to transport. It's very hard when you have to take people places to transport,
right.
And it becomes like a liability. But maybe just have like a fun day with ice cream balloons and face painting for the kids.
Something like
and,
that.
You know, I will be happy to.
We
I speak Spanish,
I think,
you know,
so.
I would
yeah.
love to speak with everybody. I know that not all the kids do, and I don't know.
I think it's
but
a great
we
idea
lovely.
If we could have it.
Yeah.
It again, it'd be something that the fund could. Anything
we can,
that
I can reach at
helps
the
fund.
I can reach at the lady who has in person Saratoga, the little pony, which is the upset, and she can bring it over so they can pet him and you know, just I don't know, little things. I can have people involved. We can do like a just a fun.
Is that day. Is that open now? The Anna's House for the kids that in
it,
Saratoga.
It is open. I think so.
Yeah.
Yes. They finish up. It is open. Yeah.
They were working on it last time. I
think it is open. 100% sure, but I think it's open and running.
They'll be up for this week for the meet, obviously. Okay.
You know, something like that. Maybe we talk to the Belmont Childcare or something. We can provide like a day of like it has to be like 2 hours.
I think
we can do something.
I think your thing about bringing an ice cream truck in is easy and yet
exactly.
well.
Yeah.
Well expected.
We
got Ben and Jerry's right downtown.
We can have
here.
Some people who can do, because of the children's activities in the past, I mean, they can do balloons and face painting.
Sure.
And they can bring, I can have a little lady to bring a little pony around. They can pet him and do something fun and just
be nice,
something nice for the kids.
Yeah, I think I agree
it's
with
just
you.
A
that.
Thought.
I think it's a very good thought.
And just about the Spanish kids, you know, I always like to talk to them in Spanish. I know that it's kind of funny, but even like the workers, some of them don't understand.
Yes.
And like,
yeah.
I'm like,
they love
it. Connection between them, and then nobody talks to them, and just, you know, get them feel important. You know, that's really important for us.
Does Agen Markets? I didn't mean to.
No, it's okay.
Agen Markets. Do they have anybody on staff that speaks Spanish? I mean, everybody's got Spanish employees. All the dairy farms, all the orchards, all the horse farms, everyone has Spanish employees. Is there anything through Agen Markets that we could tap into? Because the language is still a big, it's a big issue.
Big barrier.
It's a big issue.
We have some staff, and I know we have to translate when people reach out. We have, that's required in multiple languages, so.
Yeah.
And we also have the dairies under one of our divisions, so we also work with all the dairy manufacturers. We're out touring right now. The commissioner this month is touring dairy facilities and farms, and so we can probably have discussions there. You know, I mean, Stewart's is a Saratoga company, and they make ice cream, and so we can, there may be opportunities to have discussions at least.
It's a good idea.
Well, I'm happy to be the Spanish-speaking point for translated or get back to the back workers, you know.
I think it's a wonderful idea. If we could have one day that's just out there that's sponsored by the fund, it would be something that would be.
We can do it this year if you want. I mean, Sunday's that's really nice.
It shouldn't be a difficult thing for to do if we
can. Isn't showcase day the day after the Traverse this year?
Yes.
Sunday.
Yes.
Well, that works.
I mean,
is that New York?
The New York thing, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't have a CDL license. Well, we can definitely.
Something like that on the week, or that is not so busy for everybody, because the week can get crazy, but maybe we can do like a Tuesday or something where there's no races and actually the parents are not working because it gets really
Hard.
After training.
Yeah.
So it's like a day that is off, and I know that Saturday and Sunday everybody wants to be at the
races. I'll ask them.
Saturday, Tuesday, when they're not racing, sounds better to me.
Yeah, I'll ask Reverend Chavez, like, you know,
sure.
Where's a good day?
Yeah, absolutely.
Not sales week.
Yes, exactly. Or like the big races or something like that. So we can all be there. We can.
I think Friday the governor is opening, or maybe that maybe I may be talking out of school, but there's down in Belmont the new facility for the chaplaincy is opening this week, I think, or next week. Yeah, which is going to be lovely. Okay. Well, we've been given our orders by Ms. Ega to show up in July, and we are. And thank you for your thoughts on that. We'll do that. I'll take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Favor? We are adjourned. Thank you.